urge you to use mosquito repellent with DEET. Avoid the outdoors at dusk and dawn. Wear clothing that covers most of your skin and get rid of any standing water around your home. Hurricane Igor is expected to pass near or over Bermuda later today or early tomorrow. Fox reporter Rick Leventhal is in Bermuda, where the country's leader warns people to prepare for what could be one of the most dangerous storms the island has ever seen.
We're expecting it to basically stay away from any landmass. We don't have it making landfall near anything.
Schools in Bermuda are expected to stay closed tomorrow and Tuesday. Well, get ready. One of Florida's so-called stellar species are up for grabs again. Snook harvesting season's open again after too many cold weather snaps forced an extended moratorium. Florida Fish and Wildlife's Lee Schlesinger says the break in snook harvesting allowed for the species to replenish its population.
Snook is one of our rock star species here in Florida. It's a very important fish recreationally to a lot of folks. It's up there with tarpon and bonefish and two or three others that are really considered to be some of our premier fisheries in Florida.
But this is only a partial lift on the harvesting ban, now harvesting just allowed in the Atlantic, Lake Okeechobee, and the Kissimmee River. Find out more about the permits and restrictions at WIOD.com. The Spending Revolt bus tour is on the road, and it stops in Miami today. Spokesman Phil Kirpin says the mobile activists want to draw attention to out-of-control spending in Washington.
What we're hoping to do with our Spending Revolt bus tour effort is to channel all of the energy and all of the anger on the spending issue towards getting real cuts in federal spending and real meaningful restraints on spending going forward.
Kirpin says the concern's not just an issue for the right, that it crosses party lines. The bus tour rolls into Miami's Wyndham Airport Hotel tonight at 6 o'clock. Well, for the first time since the 2008 season finale, the Miami Dolphins will see Brett Favre when they take on the Minnesota Vikings today.
Favre posted a career high in passer rating last year and a career low in interceptions. Tony Sparano would like his defense to get pressure on the 11-time Pro Bowl quarterback, but when they get there, Sparano knows that Favre is tough to bring down.
You don't really realize how strong he is, you know, and then all of a sudden you're there and you got a chance to get him down. And if you got a chance to get this guy down, you got to get him down.
Favre is 4-3 in 7 career starts against Miami, with the Dolphins winning the last decision when Favre was a Jet to close out the 2008 season. Andrew Julia, News Radio 610 WIOD.
And catch the game on our sister station 940 Winds, the sports animal. Pregame's on right now and kickoff is at 1 o'clock. The new fall TV season starts this week, and what's old is new again. Hawaii Five-0 debuts tomorrow night, and TV Guide critic Matt Roche tells Jimmy Cephalo it's good.
This is a big, lavish action series with lots of things blow up. It's not so much like a CSI Hawaii. It's more like an NCIS Hawaii, and the idea here is you've got a task force, and they are pretty violent guys. It's a pretty cool show.
Other shows, Rush says, to look for: HBO's Boardwalk Empire, which premieres tonight, and CBS's Stuff My Dad Says, a comedy starring William Shatner. Hear what else Rush thinks about those shows at the Cephalo blog at WIOD.com. Your next update is at 12:30. Condo Craze and HOAs is next, and we are taking your calls. It's 12:04. I'm Donna Rapato.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learn quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
Joel Klein catches a 7 o'clock train after his evening CPR class at the American Red Cross.
Ron Garrity's on the same train. He's had a rough day and doesn't feel like himself. Until he feels the sudden tightness in his chest, Ron never thought he'd actually have a heart attack.
Until Joel is administering CPR, he never thought he'd actually save a life.
When you train with the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your area.
Hey, in tough times, it pays to be right, and we are. It's me, Sean Hannity, Monday night at 6 on News Radio 610 WIOD.
Condo Craze and HOAs is intended as a resource guide for education, information, and entertainment purposes and is not intended to supply specific legal advice. The information that you hear should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a professional attorney. The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based on advertising or the information you hear today.
It's Condo Craze and HOAs, sponsored by Attorney Eric Glazer, founder of Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm helping associations and owners throughout the state of Florida. You can call us at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, star 610 if you're an AT&T wireless customer. And also, check out the show's website, condocrazeandhoas.com. You can learn all about the show, see pictures of Christy, write in your questions and comments, listen to all of our past shows on the podcast, click on the Facebook link, join in on the discussion boards going on there, and most importantly, see who the show's sponsors are. And the list of sponsors has been growing throughout the past year, and we've created kind of a marketplace for all of our condo and HOA listeners, kind of a one-stop shop for all your association needs all in one place. You can become a sponsor, advertise your service directly to the people that you want to know about your service, all the associations and people who live in them throughout South Florida and the Tampa St. Pete area. Well, it was nice to have a week off last week. I hope you both enjoyed yourselves. I'm Jerry Hester, by the way, alongside attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. And any truth to the rumor that in the last 2 weeks the foreclosure crisis has gone away and boards and unit owners are now living in, dare I say,
Are you sleeping still,
peace,
Jerry?
Peace and harmony throughout the great state of Florida.
Yeah,
I think I think we need to pinch him, Eric. Yeah. I think he's still dreaming.
Yeah. First, happy New Year to all our Jewish listeners out there, and hope you had an easy fast yesterday. This would have been a whole different show, by the way, had we done it yesterday. There would have been a lot of angry callers calling in, hungry. But, Jerry, I can tell you, I can confirm 100% that everything you just said is fantasy.
It's just a figment of my imagination.
Figment of your imagination, yes. As a matter of fact, earlier in the week, I get a call from Jan Bergman, who's the president of Cyber Citizens for Justice, and he tells me about an association that, get this, recently said that only people on the actual deed can live in the home, and even anyone's children who are 21 or older, they have to get out. Get out of the house. They can't live with their parents.
Well, I think they should be out anyway, but that's me. Yeah, right. But I don't think it should be a law.
It's a whole different show.
I don't think it should be a rule.
Now you sound like Rush. I got to tell you.
I know.
Well, no. I was up and out of the house at 21. I think everybody should be.
Yeah, 23. People are moving back now. I'd move back.
But it goes further than that. Also, no grandparents, no brothers, no sisters, no uncles and aunts could live in the property, unless their names are actually on the deed and they're owners of the property.
Okay, now what about girlfriends, boyfriends?
Cannot do it.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
It is. Now, the question of whether or not that's even legal isn't the reason why I start out with this particular story today, but coincidentally, there was an interesting article in the Sun Sentinel this week that said because of the foreclosure crisis, more extended families are being forced to live together under one roof.
Sure.
And obviously, it's this type of trend that this particular association is worried about.
Eric, I also saw that article, and I believe it also mentioned that because of the housing market collapse and the disappearance of, you know, the hundreds of thousands of jobs, people searching for them, more adults are actually moving back in with their families and their extended families to save money. You know, you have one, two, maybe three families living together in one home just to try and make ends meet.
Exactly. And the Mortgage Bankers Association released an interesting study this week estimating that 1.2 million households were lost between 2005 and 2008, and that's despite a growing U.S. population. The smaller number of households, of course, was attributed to more people living together under one roof.
Yeah, I watched on the news yesterday. They released the jobless numbers, and the state was down,
right?
But
Miami-Dade County was up.
It was like 14.4%.
Yeah, something like that. And Broward was 10, and I think the state of Florida was 11 and change.
It's like 11.3 or something.
Something like that.
I'll admit, I didn't see that. Did you guys say Miami-Dade hit 14.4?
Yeah, 14.4. Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny because
it's scary because Miami-Dade is right there. Look out that window. Right.
And the whole article, and they had it, I guess, on yesterday on several of the news stations, too, was I guess Customs and Border Patrol was hiring 2,000 jobs yesterday. at 9 a.m. Yes. And they had people lined up for like three blocks just mm-hmm. waiting from like 6 a.m. to try and just even interview for these positions.
Yeah, they were even giving the parameters of the job, mm-hmm. what was required of you on TV.
Wow.
So that, you know, like people you didn't up, yeah. show up. You had to pass a physical test. You had to pass a drug test, a background check, blah, blah, blah. If you don't do anything, don't go.
Exactly. Wow. And I'm sure a lot of people still went.
I'm sure. The line was backed up to Palm Beach County.
Absolutely but frightening.
Eric, actually going back to what you were talking about with people moving into homes together, I remember reading somewhere, I think it was with the realtors or something, 37% of their sales agents who are interviewed saying they're witnessing a demand for homes that accommodate, you know, more than one generation, like I was speaking about earlier. And the U.S. Census Bureau indicated that 16% of the population, or about 49 million people, which I couldn't even imagine seeing that many people in one place, are in a home with two adult generations, compared to only 12% in 1980.
That's amazing.
Well, you see it all the time now. It's happening all over the world. You know, families are combining their money and their resources. Grandparents are acting like built-in babysitters. Saves you on child care.
Yep.
It's safer. It saves someone. You know they don't mm-hmm. call them granny cams. They call them nanny cams, right? It saves on a whole other having to put out another income for another house. And it's a little more crowded, but it's more affordable.
Yeah. Hey, the question I want to ask is whether or not our listeners believe that more family members living together under one roof is a good thing or a bad thing. Does it keep the family closer together, or do you all simply wind up getting on each other's nerves more often?
Yes.
Right, I'm sure you do.
D, all of the above.
Yeah, all of the above, right.
I'd want to see the increase in domestics and violence and possible issues arising out of those.
Well, I can tell you this. My own mom has been saying this for a long time, and she grew up in the 30s when times were really bad, and she believes that families were closer when they lived with three or four kids in a one-bedroom apartment because the family was forced to be together, eat together, tell stories together, and listen at that time, of course, to the radio together. Today, of course, it would be watch TV together.
No, listen to the radio.
We listen
to the radio.
That's true, too. But she always complains that today, with everyone having a big home and each kid having their own room 3,000 feet away from everybody else, families are actually not as close as they used to be.
At least now you have Skype, though.
Yeah, right. So, you can talk to your own kids in the same house on the internet.
Yeah,
exactly. Right?
They can text each other.
Right, Facebook each other.
Yeah,
right?
Facebook each other. Yeah, one end of the house to the other.
Well, I want to hear from our listeners today. Is it better or worse for an extended family to live together under one roof? We want to know about your thoughts, your experiences in this rather delicate area, and if you survived a similar situation or maybe cracked under the pressure. And would you continue living with an extended family if the economy didn't force it upon you? So, again, call us in. Let us know your thoughts. 866-610-NEWS. Again, 866-610-NEWS.
You know, one thing, you brought up that your mom was brought up in the 30s. So my parents were born in the 30s. And, you know, even a lot has changed. You know, technology has come a long way. And the topography has changed because I never had to walk to school uphill both ways. let's go to the phones and talk to Nick. Hi, Nick. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
My call. This is a complicated issue, but I'm going to pare it down to a very brief question and give you just the basics, because it's really the legal aspect I want to ask you about. Our homeowners association recently installed large side screens. They come with projectors and cameras in our social hall. That was to alleviate the problem of people in the back not being able to see shows and lectures. The screens and projectors are, of course, attached to a DVD player, and they can show films in high definition as well. The cost for this addition was covered by an assessment of homeowners after a majority approved. And I want to add that this pre-vote letter, the board president actually encouraged support of the measure, promising that the new screens would benefit all clubs and all residents of the community. That's a little of the background. So recently, another little bit of background about films. Movies in the community right now are screened on the original 7-year-old developer-installed projector and a 7-year-old very yellowed screen. The quality of the pictures for all films that are shown is really less than satisfactory by now. So after the installation, I'm the president. I was the president, and I'm still involved in the cinema club. And we have other people, other factions that show films as well. We began to show films on the side screens. It was a tremendously improved picture. Everybody liked it. But recently, the board violated not to allow films to be shown on the new screens. They stated that the current old projector cannot be replaced using reserves funds until it completely breaks down and stops working. Their kind of twisted logic is that this will only occur if we use the old projector until it dies, and that's something that could take years. So my question simply is a legal one. Is this a violation of 720, whatever section of it is, that that they are really discriminating against a whole section of homeowners who paid for and voted for this?
Nick, I'm going to try to answer the question real fast because we've got to go to the break. But, yeah, it seems to me that you only pass a special assessment when you absolutely need to. In other words, special assessments are normally done for, like, emergency purposes to fix something that's broken. It's kind of not proper for the board to pass a special assessment saying we need all this new AV equipment, pass the special assessment, make everybody pay, and then say, wait a minute, let's wait until the original stuff breaks down and let's not let everybody use it.
They are using it. It is being used for shows with the cameras that were involved. They are using it for the main reason that it was designed, and that is the cameras, with cameras, so people in the back can see shows and live performances. Our position is that they also work wonderfully for films. No harm is done to the equipment, no harm to the community, and for no reason whatsoever, they're forbidding it.
Well, I guess you got to look, then, the reason the actual special assessment was passed is the property that was purchased being used for the specific purchases for which it was actually advertised, the special assessment. If it is, great. If it isn't, then, you know, the board may have some discretion in that regard. But we got to take a break.
We got to take a break, Nick. Sorry. Thanks for the call. We'll get back to more of your calls right after this. Sally, I see you sitting there on hold. Please be patient. We'll just be a moment. It's Condo Craze and HOAs.
Condominium associations are facing significant challenges today. And with those challenges come the need for special help from a special property management firm. That firm is Miami-based KW Property Management and Consulting, comprised of a team of professionals who are meeting today's challenges. Staffed by CPAs and long-term property managers, KW brings financial controls, budgeting discipline, contract oversight, and strong vendor negotiation skills to its growing portfolio of clients. They call it the KW difference. The real estate market has changed, and so has the role of property managers. They're here to preserve the value of a valuable asset, your home. And today, that role involves strong financial controls and traditional property management responsibilities. Please visit kwpropertymanagement.com or call 305-476-9188. That's kwpropertymanagement.com. You'll see what they mean by the KW difference.
Hi, Nick Garcia with Clear Channel here. Have you ever felt like you're the smartest business in your industry and you can't understand why more people aren't buying what you have to offer? Look, we're in an environment today where you need answers. You need real results, and I can help big time. Be the first business that consumers think of when they need a product or service, and I can show you how to do that. We'll teach you how to master three key marketing tactics and crush any competitor. Take the step today to dominate your industry. Call now, 954-862-3136. Look, if you don't upgrade, your competitors are going to, whether you're a one-man army or a multi-million dollar company that needs an edge. Be one of the few that takes action, and we'll add your name to our list of clients that absolutely dominate in their industry using our formula. Call now, 954-862-3136. That's 954-862-3136. 3136. I'm looking forward to taking your business to the next level.
Hey, this is Mobile Mike, and I travel around South Florida doing every kind of promotion imaginable. I see accidents everywhere. It can be so frustrating to see what people have to go through to get back on the road. The minute you get in an accident, place a call to 1-800-NEED-HELP. That's 1-800-633-3435, and they'll get you a doctor and a minimum of $10,000 in injury and lost wages benefits that you're entitled to. Just remember, accident, crash, slip or fall. One call, that's all. 1-800-NEED-HELP.
Dedicated to the thousands of people who lost their lives on 9/11, Mamie Wilson's Twin Tower CD is a wonderful addition to any music collection and is now available online. To order this fitting tribute to the brave men and women of 9/11, visit cdbaby.com. and type in Twin Towers, Breathtakingly Beautiful. That's cdbaby.com for Mamie Wilson's Twin Towers.
Twin Maine Lobster is only $19.95. Hi, I'm Jack Studiali, and my family owns Tropical Acres Steakhouse. This month, we're offering our Twin Maine Lobsters for only $19.95, Monday through Friday, all evening. Treat yourself to the long-awaited return of our popular Maine Lobster Special. 2 1-pound Maine Lobsters, only $19.95. Come on over to experience the secret of our success, and let us thank you for over 60 years in business. Tropical Acres Steakhouse, on Griffin Road, half a mile west of I-95. Visit Tropical Acres.
The Home Depot now has a variety of vanity sets starting at just $49. Great quality for an even better value. That's a purchase that reflects not only your good taste, but your good sense as well. We've lowered the cost of renewing and redoing your bath thanks to stunning vanity sets starting at just $49. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Faucet sold separately while supplies last. U.S. only. See store for details.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
It's Condo Craze and HOAs. I'm Jerry Hester alongside attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. Eric, what's the status of the seminar? How are we doing? I know we were off last week, but you said people were signing up even though we weren't here.
Unbelievable. Again, you know, some people who might not have heard about it. If everybody remembers, on July 1st, the new law went into effect for condo board members, and the law says that within 90 days of getting elected, you have to either sign an affidavit stating that you read all of Florida Statute 718 and all of your governing documents, or that you attended an approved course and became certified. Well, again, some good news. I designed a course, and it was approved by the Florida DBPR, and it allows me to certify you as eligible to serve on a Florida Condominium Board of Directors. The whole course is about 2.5 hours. Again, if you choose the first option and you wind up reading all the Florida statutes and all your condo docs, it's probably going to take you more like 2.5 days. And even better this week, the DBPR approved the course for 4 hours of continuing education credits for all community association managers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that is a good thing. And the best part, the course is going to be held live and in person at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Again, we arranged for a great setup, all kinds of desserts and drinks. We're going to be giving away $100 gambling chips to some lucky winners. And the course is absolutely free. Everybody who stays from beginning to end walks out with a certificate of completion. It's going to be suitable for framing, certifying that you are now legally eligible to serve on a Florida condominium board.
Now, let's see. I'm not real good at math, but 2.5, 3 days of reading this thing that I'm probably not going to understand anyway, or spend a couple hours at the Hard Rock.
Right.
Exactly. And the thing, Jerry, is actually going to be...
What should I do?
I think it's actually going to be fun, too, because even though we're going to go over the topics like budget and reserves, financial reporting, condo operations, maintenance, records, all that stuff, it's going to be fun, guys. Right, it's not going to be one of those readings straight through the statutes with you. I guarantee you, Eric's got some good stuff.
Okay, and now I'm going to put on my big announcer voice and put my hand up to my ear and everything. Eric, tell them how they can register.
You can register by going to the show's website. That's www.condocrazeandhoas.com. By the way, every single one of the show's sponsors are going to be there with their own presentation table. And they're going to be ready to tell you about their products and services that they can offer for your association. And by the way, I also confirmed with the division that if you're not yet a member of a Florida condominium board, you can take the course and become pre-certified. So that if you do get elected, you obviously don't have to take the course again. So maybe if you plan on running for the board in the future, you may want to take the course and tell the voters that you're the right man or woman for the job because you're already qualified and certified to serve on the board. And I can tell you, The first seminar already sold out, 150 seats sold out from 70 different associations. The second one is November 18th, and we only have about 30 seats left for that, so I'd love to sell it out during the show. Again, go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com, fill out the form, it'll come to us by email, and if you do it during the show, we will announce you on the air. But again, time is just about up.
Yep. Let's talk to Sally in Tarpon Springs. Sally, thanks so much for holding. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs.
Hi. You're asking for people who had experience living in multi-generational homes?
Yes.
Yes, we were.
Yes. Well, we had a four-family apartment building, which is not exactly under the same roof, but it was all family in the building.
Uh-huh. And what'd you feel about it?
It was wonderful.
Really?
It was wonderful. When I needed a babysitter, I just pushed the bassinet across the hall.
And say, here.
And mom was there.
So why is it, though, you know, I guess, you know, the older generation may tell you that today, you know, kids get married and the idea is to move as far away as you possibly can. And, you know, I guess that's not something that you feel too fond of.
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter, when she was 3 years old, she looked at my mother and said, Grandma, you're the only one that's always with me.
Really? Okay.
So how can you beat that? You can't buy that.
Absolutely. Okay, so we got one vote in favor of everybody living
Sally
together under one
yay.
Roof. Sally says yay. All right, Sally, I'm sure you make a great mom.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks for the phone call.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's also important because then you know how your kids are being raised. Just listening to her saying, Grandma, you're always there. You know what's being instilled in them.
And exactly. You know who's raising them. Exactly.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Right. And who's feeding them.
That's true. Making sure they actually eat.
My grandma was a good cook.
So was mine.
Let's go talk to Vern. I think we've talked to you before, haven't we, Vern? You're on the air.
Yes. Several months ago, I was driving on a Sunday, and I heard you mention reference to condominiums, that if you have a legal question or something like that, if you send a letter to each one on the board and you're not satisfied, that if you go to arbitration, that they cannot force you to pay for the cost of the arbitration. I hope I stated that right.
That's pretty close, Vern. Yeah, that's not bad. That's right.
My question is, does that also apply to HOAs?
No, I don't believe there's such a provision in the HOA statute. Under the condo statute, you're allowed to send what's called a letter of inquiry to the condo board, and they have 30 days in order to get back to you and actually answer your question. If they don't, and that particular issue winds up in litigation, you don't have to pay their attorney's fees and costs should they beat you with that particular issue. But no, there isn't. Hey, Vern, before we cut you off, are you the same guy that called in about, I don't know, 8-10 months ago? We had one guy named Vern that was confused as to why women are on condo boards of directors, because what do they know about running a condo board?
No, I mentioned that I live in a homeowners association, and when they hold a board meeting, though you have experts on the topic from homeowners, roofers and everything else, the three women on the board will not take any advice from anybody who has expertise with sprinklers or anything else, and they make some of the most foolish decisions. But you're not allowed to speak up at all.
See, so it was him, though, right?
Yeah, it
that
was.
Vern.
You
Vern.
Still married, Vern? But I remember about that call was his wife yelling to him in the background.
There's one woman on this thing. You got to watch it, Vern. I'm going to gang up on you.
Bring her on.
We hope we answered your question,
oh,
Vern.
A challenge, Christy.
I know.
Thanks for the call, Vern. Thanks a lot.
There's no answer to that?
But the answer to what?
If you have an expert in the audience,
they don't know. Under Florida law, they have the ability to allow people to talk for 3 minutes at the end of the actual meeting. And I mean, if you have questions, they don't actually have to listen to experts if they're not unit owners or homeowners. The homeowners are the only ones that actually have the ability to talk at the board meetings.
No, I'm talking about homeowners that are experts. And as far as that goes, the three women on our board are very nervous, and anytime somebody rises to speak, they hold up a watch to limit them to exactly 180 seconds. And even if you have expertise about, say, the sprinklers, after they've made the decision, they don't go back and change anything.
Well, you know what I learned about working in HOAs and condos all this time? Everybody seems to think that they're an expert. So if you allow everybody to talk for 5 or 10 minutes, you'll never conclude the meeting.
Right.
So. That's true.
We got to take...
That could be.
Yeah, but, Vern, thanks for the call, man. We have to take a break for news now. Thanks a lot. You know what my other cousin Daryl used to say about experts? They're people that used to be perts.
I thought you were going to say that they're
and
all
they
women.
And they weren't very good at it.
I thought you were going to say all the experts are women.
Right? I wouldn't say that. I'm outnumbered here.
Exactly.
We'll take your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397. Right after we take a break for news, it's Condo Craze and HOAs.
Good afternoon, I'm Donna Rapato. Local health officials report cases of West Nile virus, which has now killed one person on Florida's coast. details coming up, but first...
We're going to continue with Partly Cloudy.
Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Traffic Center. 610 WIOD 24-hour traffic.
And road work is blocking some Miami-Dade routes. A left lane on the off-ramp to Granbury Road from northbound I-75. And on the nearby Gratney Parkway, a left lane is closed westbound before the toll plaza.
We're going to continue with partly cloudy skies on this Sunday. Could see a stray afternoon shower storm developing, a little breezy, high near 90. Any showers ending this evening, 76 for the low. And Monday, partly cloudy, could have a stray shower too, upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Ed Levy from the Weather Channel for News Radio 610 WIOD.
And it is 12:31. A Fort Myers man dies and another is hospitalized after contracting West Nile virus. West Nile symptoms include fever, rash, headache, fatigue, weakness, and dizziness. Mosquitoes spread the virus, not person-to-person contact. Officials urge you to use mosquito repellent with DEET. Avoid the outdoors at dusk and dawn. Wear clothing that covers much of your skin and get rid of any standing water around your home. Broward County health officials just recorded the first West Nile virus case there in 6 years. That 50-year-old victim has recovered. Fans of shows like CSI can soon do more than just watch from the couch. In Coral Springs, you'll be able to become part of the real-life action. Police Chief Duncan Foster says next month the program starts where they will train regular citizens to collect fingerprints at crime scenes, like at car burglaries.
There's a tremendous amount of physical evidence that can be found at a vehicle burglary. The criminal usually touches the glass or touches somewhere inside the car, and we want to be able to process every crime scene that we can. If we have volunteers that are willing to do that, it's going to free up officers to respond to the more serious crimes.
The chief says people will probably have to go through about 40 hours of training. He got the idea from a community in Denver with a similar program. Well, in just half an hour, the Dolphins take on the Minnesota Vikings.
Dolphins left tackle Jake Long and Vikings defensive end Jarrett Allen have both been selected to the last two Pro Bowls, so it's no surprise the pair who will be matched up for a good portion of the game will have a big impact. Dolphins coach Tony Sparano expects Long to be prepared for the difficult assignment.
First time for Jake playing against Jarrett and vice versa, so Jake, you know, I'm sure respects, you know, the kind of player that he is.
And injury notes for the Finns, defensive end Jared Odrick and linebacker Channing Crowder are out for today's game, and linebacker Ike Alama Francis is listed as questionable. Andrew Julian, News Radio 610 WIOD.
And it is almost kickoff time. You can catch the game on our sister station, 940 Winds, the sports animal. Pre-game is on right now. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Your next update is at 1 o'clock. Condo Craze HOAs continues, and we are taking your calls. It is 12:33. I'm Donna Rapato.
The law firm of Glazer & Associates is asked all the time, why can't we be friends? Board members once elected have no idea how difficult and time-consuming it would be. They learned quickly that their decisions must be guided by statutes, declarations, and bylaws. At times, it feels overwhelming, especially when homeowners are constantly complaining. Let Glazer & Associates help your board and homeowners be friends. Whether it's collecting past due assessments, amending your documents, or answering your questions, or if you're a community member involved in a disagreement with your association, Glazer & Associates will handle your legal matters with personal care by professionals who appreciate your business. They know you have a choice for your association legal services and want to show you why they are the right choice. Visit their website at florida-association-law.com or call 954-983-1112 for more information. Let them restore the friendship between neighbors. This advertisement has been provided by a non-attorney spokesperson.
The recession may tempt people to put disability insurance on the back burner. Life Foundation spokesman Anthony Domino explains why that might be a bad idea.
People need an insurance safety net now more than ever, particularly with their savings and investments affected by the economic crisis. A disability, either short-term or long-term, is perhaps a greater threat than you losing your job.
If you and your family depend on a paycheck, protect that income. Talk to your employer or an insurance professional. A message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
It's all you need. The Schnitt Show, Monday afternoon at 3 on News Radio 610 WIOD.
It's Condo Craze and HOAs. I'm Jerry Hester alongside attorneys Eric Glazer and Christy Phillips. We are taking your calls at 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397. And if you're out and about, we'll take your AT&T wireless calls as long as you're using a hands-free device at *610 because we want to keep you as listeners, not...
Yeah, and if Eric's on the road, just... Everybody make sure you don't use your phone.
Eric's not on the road right now.
That's a good thing.
Everybody's out there.
Should be
pretty safe, at least for a time. So how are we doing on the countdown there on the seminar,
Eric? During the break, let's welcome Howard from Crystal Tower Condo in Hollywood. He signed up for the seminar. So did Margo from Isola Condo. I don't know where that is. And Michael wants to know what time we're going to get out of the seminar, I guess. Listen, it starts at 7 o'clock at night in the Hard Rock, so I'm guessing, hey, it's the Hard Rock. I don't know, 4 or 5 in the morning?
No, but that's not when the seminar gets out. That's when you leave.
The seminar will be over by about 10. Yes,
it's on a Tuesday night?
It's on a Thursday night.
Thursday night? You can be out by Saturday morning.
And there you go.
If I remember
Hard
correctly.
Hard Rock's open 24 hours.
I'm sure Brian's listening to this. We're off the next day, right?
Yeah, sure.
It was worth the shot.
All right, let's get back to the phones while Christy still has a job. It's Michelle in Miami. Hi, Michelle. You're on Condo Craze in HOAs.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, good. Michelle?
I have a question. I own a condo that's an investment property, and I keep getting notices from my association for late fees. And they have now amassed a number of like $400-something, and it's not possible. And I'd like to know two things. First of all, are late fees lienable? And secondly, what happens when I know that I sent my payment on time, perhaps they didn't cash it on time? I mean, what happens in an event where we have an impasse, where I don't believe I owe it and they believe I owe it?
Okay, the way it works with late fees is first off, they have to be found in your declaration. So the first thing I'm going to suggest you do is actually go and look at your declaration of condominium and make sure that the association is actually allowed to charge them. Because a lot of this, okay, so then the next thing is, yes, they are lienable, because the way Florida statute is, if I make, say, my assessment's $300 a month and I have $100 in late fees, the way the statute allows the payments to be applied is they first get applied to interest, late fees, attorney's fees, special assessments, and then assessments. So in the end, what you're really doing owing is assessments versus late fees. However, if you can prove that, you know, you did make the payments on time, you know, the checks went out in your checking account, they were cashed or they were received. Like, I know nowadays I actually send some of my stuff certified return receipt if I know it's a big special assessment check or something like that. Or I make them sign off stating that they received it on the 2nd. Because most of the decks allow, I think, the grace period until about the 10th. Don't quote me on that, because each association is different.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the 10th.
Yeah, if you can prove, you can bring the record showing that, you know, you made the payments on time and for some reason they didn't get credited to your account on time. Like if they were cashed on the 6th and therefore they had the money, or they received on the 6th, that kind of stuff, then you can definitely get them waived, but it's your duty to actually bring the proof to the association.
How long you living there, Michelle?
It's an investment property
okay.
for me, so I haven't, but I've owned it for 3 years.
And have your payments generally been timely over 3 years?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
So you have
the thing that I'm wondering about, and I don't want to be sort of conspiracy theorist here, but, you know, with a lot of people not paying dues, I'm wondering if they're waiting to cash the check so that they can get the $25. Because that's really a lot of money.
I quite frankly have never seen associations deliberately hold on to checks just so they can get an extra $25 out of somebody, especially, you know, during this economy. They should be happy and eager to cash the check once received. So I don't think that's happening. Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
And I mean, the other thing you can do, Michelle, is you can possibly go in and try to talk to them. And even if you possibly don't have the proof that they're cashed before, then be like, look, I've lived here for 3 years. I've made the payments on time. Is there any way to waive this and to set up some program to ensure that never happens again? Because I know some of our associations are definitely willing. I mean, they want the money. They want the assessments. They want people in there that keep paying versus people that are just going to walk away from it. So it's definitely a good thing to try and strike up a line of communication there also.
Okay, well, very good. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks. You know, it's no secret that I do a car show on this station on Saturday. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, even on the car show, what's all the hoo-ha about pickup trucks?
Right. Exactly. Well, there's a lot of hoo-ha now. I don't think I ever said hoo-ha before, by the way.
I don't know. It's coming out of you guys. I am not repeating that. I'll just be quiet.
Well, again, you know what? Sometimes
it's a southern version of rigmarole.
Isn't it supposed to be like hoopla or something like that, not hoo-ha?
We say none of those things in Brooklyn. I'll tell you right now.
Well,
you get hurt for saying those things in Brooklyn.
Okay, good.
All right, but moving on.
But yet he's down here now. Notice that.
Yeah,
you
right.
You got to southern Floridize him.
Yeah, if Brooklyn is so nice, if he, you know, why is he, you know, 6 lanes going north, pal? But, you know, I disagree with all the laws about are the rules about pickup trucks? Because they're getting so nice now.
Well, it's a hot topic, I can tell you. And you know what sometimes gets owners more upset than telling them that they can't have their own family or friends living with them? It's telling them that they can't have their pickup truck live with them.
Well, I know guys that say, hey, you do what you want to the girl, but don't scratch my truck.
There you go.
Okie dokie, time out, because I'm going to jump in here. Once again, we're getting back to Vern here, because I know a lot of women around me that would probably rather love their pickup truck than their husband or their boyfriend. So let's stop right there.
Okay, that's fine.
Anyway, children.
But it wasn't, I can't say that. You can say that. We both have the same opinion.
Well, this type of situation actually came to a head a few weeks ago in a ruling by the 4th District Court of Appeals in a case called Coovin versus the City of Coral Gables. Now, Mr. Coovin was renting a home, and he didn't have a garage, and he owned a Ford F-150 pickup truck, and he had to park the truck on the street in front of his home. Problem is, the city's zoning code prohibits the parking of trucks, trailers, and other commercial and recreational vehicles on the street between 7 at night and 7 in the morning. So Mr. Coovin gets cited for a violation and a $50 fine. He then challenges the constitutionality of the ordinance in the Dade County Circuit Court, and he loses. On appeal, the 3rd District Court of Appeal held that because the ordinance doesn't impinge on a fundamental right and the city of Coral Gables had a rational basis in passing this ordinance, the city can pass an ordinance that enhances or maintains the aesthetic appeal of the community, and the law actually protects the city's residential neighborhoods against the lingering presence of commercial-looking vehicles. They told him his truck got to go, can't be parked outdoors.
And Eric, it's actually an interesting opinion because it also, I believe, specifically described Mr. Coovin's, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, truck as having a large open bed, which right. is a space designed for storage and transportation of cargo all in plain view. Yep. I mean, I wonder if maybe if you put the top on it, on the back, would that help out? I mean, it's just insane to me.
Pinion didn't specifically say, but if you got a flatbed open area, sorry, your truck got
to
go.
But then again, that's the same area that has, you know, your real estate signs have to be like 1 inch by 1 inch. Yeah, so.
No fundamental right, apparently, to have a pickup.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people listening, you know, think that they have a fundamental right to park whatever they want in front of their own home. You know, it's an important question. If the city of Coral Gables can prevent trucks on their streets, can your condo or HOA do the same thing? Now, pickup trucks aren't what they used to be.
Right, exactly.
You know, some of them are nicer than the luxury cars
they drive
that some
better
of us drive.
Cadillac
and they
makes
drive
a gorgeous
better.
One. The Chevy Avalanche makes
yeah,
one. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, and the Tundra.
Right.
Big four-door. You know, you got a thing on the back. It's more like a station wagon.
Very heavy litigated issue. And I got to tell you, although the listeners may not be happy to hear it, I would say after reading that case and some arbitration cases, no question about it, the HOA or your condo can probably prevent you from doing it. If the restriction against trucks is contained in either the Declaration of Condominium or the Declaration of Covenants and the truck at issue has, you know, a flatbed cargo space, the association probably has a right to say that it can't be parked in plain view in the community.
Yeah, there's actually an arbitration case that spoke about the Coven decision. And in that case, the arbitrator upheld that the right of the association did have a right to actually ban those trucks from the association in plain view.
I like what you did. You said his name 3 different times now, just so you got it right.
I'm trying.
One of them was right. One of them was right.
I hope he's listening and calls in. Yeah, but that case, again, limited it to whether or not it had a flatbed, I believe. But, well, again, we want to know from our listeners, what do you guys think? Should associations be able to ban you from having a pickup truck on your property if it has a flatbed? And, you know, suppose you own a business and you have a truck that promotes your business. Should the association be allowed to prevent you from parking it in front of your own home? And that's a whole other hot topic. Call in again. Let us know what you think. 866-610-NEWS. Again, 866-610-NEWS. I guess when we get back from a break, we'll announce even some more
registrants
to the
ding,
association.
Ding, your little ding-dinger is still ding-dinging over
right,
there.
Exactly.
They're still signing up.
I feel like I'm in a casino already with all the ding-dings over here.
866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610 if you're an AT&T wireless customer. Give us a call. It's Condo Craze and HOAs. We'll be right back.
Crumbling concrete, peeling paint, waterproofing problems? No problem. If you're a building owner or management company, finding solutions to your problems doesn't have to be painful or costly.
Promax Restoration and Paint. Whether it's a perimeter wall or parking garage, balcony or pool deck, structural repair, waterproofing, and painting is their specialty. It has been since 1994. At Promax Restoration and Paint, they've seen and successfully repaired and painted just about everything when it comes to high-rise, mid-rise, townhomes, buildings of any shape and size. Yes, they're clients have included Marriott, Hilton, Doral, and many luxury condos. But it doesn't mean that Promax Restoration and Paint is expensive. These clients have chosen Promax for their experience and quality workmanship, but also for their ability to offer very competitive pricing. So see their work and see what they can do for you at restorationandpaint.com. Promax Restoration and Paint. 800-624-9371. That's 800-624-9371.
Someday, you will need insurance, and for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Okay, deep breaths.
I am, I'm breathing,
breathe
I'm
deeply.
Breathing.
Someone here expecting a baby.
Hi, doctor,
we are.
Yes.
Dr. Hanley, extension 27.
Oh, excuse
Hanley.
Me.
Keep breathing.
Yes.
I'm sorry, doctor, but you said to call whenever Coit offers 40% off any cleaning service.
40% off?
For a few days only.
Is someone offering 40% off?
The man in the shiny black van's offering 40% off any cleaning service.
40% off Coit?
Any service?
Right now?
Yes, 40% off carpets, upholstery, draperies, tile, and grouter air ducts. All right, now. You're ready to push?
No, not yet.
Wait.
Call Coit.
I am.
We don't want to miss saving 40% off.
Call the man in the shiny black van and get 40% off from the world's number one cleaning professional. Carpets, upholstery, draperies, tile and grout, or air ducts. You'll get a free written estimate and a 100% money-back guarantee.
We'll have a baby next week?
Yeah. Folks, you can't wait to have a baby.
Oh, she can wait.
I can wait. If Coit's offering 40% off, I can wait.
Coit's 40% off sale ends soon, so call 1-800-4-COIT today. That's 1-800-F-O-R-C-O-I-T. People you trust, trust Coit.
Dedicated to the thousands of people who lost their lives on 9/11, Mamie Wilson's Twin Tower CD is a wonderful addition to any music collection and is now available online. To order this fitting tribute to the brave men and women of 9/11, visit cdbaby.com and type in Twin Towers, breathtakingly beautiful. That's cdbaby.com for Mamie Wilson's Twin Towers.
Twin Maine Lobsters, only $19.95. Hi, I'm Jack Studiali, and my family owns Tropical Acres Steakhouse. This month, we'll once again offer our Twin Maine Lobsters for only $19.95, Monday through Friday, all evening. Treat yourself to the long-awaited return of our Maine Lobster Special, only $19.95. Experience the secret of our success, Tropical Acres Steakhouse on Griffin Road, half mile west of I-95. Go to tropicalacres.com. Tropical Acres Steakhouse, over 61 years and still going strong.
Condo Craze and HOAs. I'm Jerry Hester alongside attorneys Eric Glazer, Christy Phillips. Still time for a few of your calls. 866-610-NEWS, 866-610-6397, *610. If you're an AT&T wireless customer, any more sign-ups there, Eric?
Yeah, welcome Michael from Miami from Lake Ridge Association. He just signed up. And again, guys, time is running short. We're almost sold out. If you want to register for the seminar, again, it's free at the Hard Rock now. The one we're doing is for November 18th. Just go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com, click on the board member certification link, fill out the form, And we'll see you on the 18th, and we look forward to it. Again, it's free of charge, so no reason at all not to sign up.
Yeah, TikTok on the ding-dinger, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Learn a lot.
Let's go to Lake Worth and talk to Linda. Hi, Linda. You're on Condo Craze and HOAs. Linda, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
Linda, how are you?
I'm good. Listen, I just wanted to tell the people, I moved into an association, never lived in one in my life. They told us we couldn't have a pickup truck. Well, we already had one. So about a year after moving in, the people that live there all got together, and we took a vote, and there's over 900 houses. We took a vote, and we won. Now we are allowed to park our pickups in the driveway. You cannot have any commercial writing on it, or, you know, you can't have ladders up the side. They have to be personal use, but that's fine with us.
Right.
So if they want to try that, it may work for them too.
Right, and that's a good point. I think the more practical answer to most of these things is to allow pickup trucks. Again, we were talking during the break just about how gorgeous some of them actually are. They're actually more expensive than some vehicles are, and no reason to prevent them. But I would agree, probably a better way of handling it is to just say, hey, no commercial, lettering. Certainly, no tools hanging from the truck.
Exactly.
No ladders. No things of that nature. But also, there's one point that we probably didn't make. If there's no rule or regulation, contained in your declaration of covenants or your declaration of condominium, and you move in with that truck and the board subsequently amends the documents, that doesn't mean you have to get rid of it. You're going to be grandfathered in.
Grandfathered in, right?
Right, exactly. So don't think, automatically you're thrown out just because the rule is passed. Okay?
Right.
So I'm glad it seems to me in your associations, calmer and cooler heads prevailed, and you guys were able to work out a reasonable solution.
It was the vote that did it.
Right.
And that's actually an interesting point, Linda, because we didn't mention that before. If there are some associations that their docks may be older and they ban trucks and whatnot, and nowadays, more and more people have pickup trucks, you can do this amendment process and actually have it change if you get the certain percentage of unit owners to agree.
Right. I know we've had situations over the years where people didn't bother to read the rules and regulations prior to moving in, and guy owns a business and all of a sudden says, but they want us to park the truck 2-3 blocks away. What are we going to do? And unfortunately, sometimes the answer is, you should have read the documents before you moved in.
Eric, if you remember, we had that caller that had the truck that they made him park 2 blocks away, and then he was riding his motorcycle to the house,
right,
and they banned the motorcycle because of the noise.
These are true horror stories, ladies and gentlemen, so read your documents before moving in.
Thanks for the call, Linda.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Norman in Miami. If you think Linda's association is all getting along, I don't think Norman's is. Hi, Norman. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good.
Hey, Norman.
Norman, I have to say, but stop your fuss, thank you so much for saying ladies. You're the first person ever to say that. I appreciate
it. Yeah, everybody, Norman, what she's referring to is everybody calls the show and goes, hi, guys. And Christy sits here with this look on her face like she's going to cry.
She knows she's one of the guys.
I know.
See, I need to be politically correct.
What's up, Norman?
What's the process in the state of Florida to disband a homeowners association, or can it even be done?
Don't know offhand. I'd have to check the statute. Probably would require pretty close to 100% of the vote of all the owners in the community. Okay, it's something I can research and get back to you next week. It's a little more lenient, I believe, in a condominium association, especially where there's damage to a community after a storm. I believe then we get it down to something like 80%. But in an HOA, I'm not exactly sure of the answer, but something we can certainly address next week.
Okay.
But why do you want to disband your HOA? That's the more important question.
But we have some people in our association that want to disband. It's a small association. We have, the only expenses we really have are the board expenses, a little bit of common property, and the people who live there can do whatever they want, or want to do whatever they want without repercussions.
Right now.
We don't have the money to go fight them in court.
Okay, now that common property, though, still has to be maintained by somebody. It's still going to be owned by that corporate entity.
Well, we would try to turn it over to the county.
Okay, if they'll take it. I can tell you, we can do a whole show on that issue as to whether or not the counties or municipalities are willing to take over streets in a community. And oftentimes,
it's not so much streets. There's a couple cul-de-sacs.
Okay. Okay.
Which you, have to take
obviously, you'd want to check with that municipality first to see if they're even willing to take it, because even though you're willing to sometimes grant land to this to the county or to your municipality, they may not want to take it. I can tell you we represent a certain association in Hollywood where they would love nothing more than to have the streets dedicated to the city, but the streets are too narrow and the city doesn't want to take responsibility for that. So make sure you can do it first.
Okay.
Okay?
Check with the county.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call, Norman.
Thanks, Norman.
Bye.
Let's go to Kendall and talk to Ciro. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Ivan. Yeah, the question that I have, I live on Kendall, Homeowner Association. I would say probably 80% of the green areas. But as the street lighting, it goes on the right public right public way. The homeowner association is the one who maintains it. So around, I would say roughly 75% of the maintenance that I pay, it goes to the maintenance or the improvement of the lighting and the green areas that belong to the county.
Okay.
And the county doesn't take care of that. So my question is why the homeowners can put, you know, the part of the maintenance to be tax deductible.
Maybe I don't understand the question. Are you saying that you're paying maintenance for street lighting in your community, but you believe that the city should be taking care of it?
The county.
Or the county?
Definitely the streets, the lighting, the green areas on the street, definitely those are county roads, 100% sure. But the homeowner association is the one who maintains the green areas and the lightings.
Okay, well, that may be the agreement that your association, in fact, has with the municipality. Have you asked your management company or have you asked your board of directors for an explanation in that regard?
Yes, we did a long time ago. And then we know for sure that the green area belongs to county area number 4, the high maintenance in 1982, but the county said nobody requested.
Well, again, what I would do is I'd look for actually see if there's a recorded document out there. I'd go online and see if I can find it in the public records and see what the actual agreement is between the county and your association. I don't know if it was recorded with your original governing documents, or it might have been an agreement that was entered into after the association was actually created. But whatever that agreement is, it probably exists in some form of a recorded document, and that's what I try to find online.
Because I did some type of research long time ago, and I couldn't find anything, but the only thing that I heard said that was a verbal agreement that Arvida Corporation made with the county back on 1983-84. In order for them to be able, you know, to develop the area.
Okay. If you don't believe you're getting an answer from your board, by the way, you can always go down to either code enforcement or your building department or zoning, and someone down there should be able to give you an answer as to why your association is paying for the lighting. Okay? It may require spending some time in an office somewhere, but you should be able to get an answer from somebody.
Okay.
Okay.
And Eric, he actually brought up an interesting point just there because he was talking about how
the
prior company, and I believe he said when they developed it, there's some recorded document between them and the county. So it might be some sort of easement. I mean, a lot of these developers get the right to build on certain properties by making concessions and saying, okay, we'll run the lighting, we'll do this, we'll do that, as long as you take care of the roads or whatever. So, I mean, they're probably responsible via some document, like Eric was saying, is recorded.
You know, is it true? And I can't believe that I've never brought this up on the show in the year we've been here. Is it true that the county actually or the city actually owns everything on the street side of the sidewalk, even though it's your swale and
right.
It's your yard? The city owns that, but you have to maintain it.
That's damn right. That just happened to me.
Did it?
Exactly. My whole, you know, coming out of my driveway from my own house, the whole swale area was all busted up. City came around, fixed it, and gave me the bill. So the answer is yes.
Wow.
Which means,
you know, I always
it.
Wondered that.
Yeah.
Because some people, you know, back when I was growing up, some people called that little grassy area city property.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, this is our yard. This is the city property.
Before we go, by the way, interesting email just now from Jan saying that I was wrong. And sometimes association managers deliberately won't cash checks just to get those late fees. Again, I haven't seen it, but apparently Jan has. Yes, exactly.
Well, that's why we have Jan, because he's seen everything.
Keeps us on our toes.
Yes, he does. Don't forget to sign up for the seminar, Condo Craze and HOAs.com. We'll take a short little break and come back next Sunday at noon with more for you on Condo Craze and HOAs. Enjoy your Sunday. Go Dolphins.
The talk you want.
The news you need.
News Radio 610 WIOD, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Streaming live 24/7 at WIOD.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Donna Rapata. The Dolphins meet up with an elder statesman of quarterbacks as we speak, and the Finns drain Brett Favre reserves and his Minnesota Vikings. Details coming up, but first, here's Terry Griffin in the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino traffic center.
Thanks, Donna. Construction to slow you down this afternoon. 75 northbound ramp to Graham Daria left lane is blocked. Also, Gratney westbound approaching the toll plaza. The 112 eastbound after Okeechobee, ongoing construction there as well. And one more, the 836 westbound after 107th Avenue. A left lane is blocked. Your next traffic update.